Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Alexandra.
And I'm Anna, and we are the Russian Sisters.
Welcome to our podcast.
A show we created to talk about hard things.
And also to bring some levity to your lives.
Alexandra is a mom and occupational therapist.
And Anna is a school counselor.
And together we share our life stories.
And crazy adventures.
We aim to make you smile.
And let you know you're not alone.
You're not alone.
You are not alone.
Enjoy our latest episode from
the Russian Sisters.
Hello and welcome to another episode.
Hello.
Welcome to another week of fun with Anna and Alexandra.
You know it.
Alexandra, how have you been?
Pretty good, I'd say. I think I've mentioned my word for the year is simple. So trying to keep it simple. Yeah. Things are pretty status quo here. I've talked a little bit about the transition with my work. I did finally get on with a company that I think is going to be fantastic. The transition has been not awesome, but I think I've decided instead of getting wrapped up in all the shenanigans of just kind of sitting back and letting stuff play out.
Like transitioning into the new company or transitioning out of the old company?
Well, I mean, it's kind of both, but yeah, out of the old company. They've got some stuff going on. It's just, there's a lot of miscommunication. I don't know if I'd call it miscommunication or just, because it's not a lack of communication. It's just very confusing communication.
Confusing communication.
Confumication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yes. So every day I could be told something that's the opposite of what I was told the day before. Otherwise, I'm just, yeah, taking it a day at a time. We've had some really weird weather here. I'm looking forward to the warmer weather, getting outside a little bit more. Yeah, it's pretty much been status quo. Kind of boring. I'm okay with boring, but kind of boring over here.
Simple.
Yeah, simple. Well, simple doesn't have to be. I tell people I'm simple-minded, and then they think I'm dumb. No, not dumb, but just I like to keep things simple. I have a knack for overcomplicating things, so it's a good reminder for everybody. You're welcome.
Yeah, people have been asking, like, what are you going to do for spring break? And a lot of people have plans, and I'm like, staycation.
Well, yeah, I feel like you have an update for us on your health. How is that going?
Yes, I'm going to have some forced rest time. I learned, I'm sure you guys are all really interested in my health problems, but I learned after I went to urgent care and my follow-ups, it's so interesting what happened really, but because of the pain that I had, some tests were done, and because of those tests were done, they discovered I have this other problem to which I'm going to have surgery over spring break. So it really is a forced rest because I'll be down and out for probably 2 to 3 days, which is totally fine with me. I have some books that I want to read unless I'm just sleeping for 3 days, which also could be lovely. And I do love that simple, just like, cool, I was hoping to not do much of anything anyway, and now I'll just be in recovery. So that thing was discovered, going to have surgery to tackle that, and then still have this other problem that I need to tackle. But that, through diet and meds, I'm sure will come to some sort of conclusion. I have another follow-up appointment in a couple weeks. So y'all stay tuned. I know you're so interested in what's going on with my abdomen.
Your surgery, is it a routine surgery?
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, the doctor that I talked to was like, oh, it's their bread and butter. Like, it's like nothing.
Well, my point is it's not something that's like, it's something that is done more frequently. So it's not something that's done infrequently that has higher risk.
No, it should be pretty low risk. In fact, I went online to schedule my appointment because that's how Schmeiser works. Like, nope, the referral was put in. I logged into my account. I click on the referral. It asks me when I want an appointment. And then the appointments were all in like 20-minute increments. And I was like, well, it's so routine and so simple that there's no like pre-op appointment and then you have the surgery and then a post-op like check it. I think it really just is like go have this thing done by a robot. And then go home and rest for 3 days.
I wonder if they just combine pre and post-op now into the actual appointment.
Could be. My driver to the appointment was like, what time do we have to be there? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't gotten like any emails or information. I don't know much of anything. But I went and I looked and I'm like, oh, okay. I have to be there at this by this time. And it's not even like at hospital. It's like that kind of routine.
Outpatient. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll make the rest of my life really interesting. So much so the past few days have been like, oh, I think that some of the foods that I have been eating, I won't be able to really eat. No, that's not true. I could eat them if I wanted to, but there'll be consequences in the future. So I've kind of just been diving into some of my favorite foods the last few days because I'm like, this could very well be the last time I shall ever taste this flavor.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'm going to speak on behalf of our listeners, but I hope everything goes well.
Thank you.
And you know that I've already told you, Buddy and I are around if you need anything.
Thank you. Yeah. I've just been saying it's going to be easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in as much as spring break can be nice to go away and do things, that's how, well, Buddy's surgery last year ended up being before spring break. But it worked, you know, it worked out okay for us. But I think sometimes it's nice to have that natural break so you don't have to worry about missing work. You don't have to worry about making up anything, even though it kind of puts a damper. Like, what are you doing for spring break? I'm having surgery.
Yeah, I was talking to a teacher this morning and he was like, he's technologically challenged, self-admittedly he is. And so he's like, I just want to make sure I'm able to access my boarding pass on my phone and I have this done and this done. I'm like, looks good. You should be totally fine. And he's like, what are you going to do over break? And I'm like, I'm having surgery.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I lie? Do I say I don't know what I'm doing, which also isn't true because I know what I'm doing. But so yeah, like he didn't pry into anything more specific, but yeah.
It's March Madness.
It is March Madness. Did you fill out a bracket for basketball?
I did for fun. It's been a while since I've done one. But I did.
Is it through work or through?
No, it's just me.
Oh, just you by yourself? You were like, I'm going to print up a bracket by myself and do it?
Yeah.
That's funny. You're like, I'm going to put $50 in and win or lose. Winner takes all. Loser also gets 100% of what they put in back.
Yeah. It's just for fun.
That's funny. How did you go about picking your teams?
I looked at them and then just picked.
You weren't like, I like this college over this college, or I like this part of the country better than this part of the country, or they have better uniforms and they have better uniforms, or I like their mascot better than their mascot?
No, I really kept it simple-minded.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I heard that there were some teams that kind of threw everything topsy-turvy.
A whole bunch of my bracket is already out. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
USC lost. So whole bunch of my bracket is gone.
That's how I feel about March Mammal Madness. And if
I want to get into this. This
if is the Okapi like does not make it past the first round, then that kind of sucks for me.
Oh. I feel like they're the kind of animal where they're unassuming.
Okapi?
Yeah.
I think we have them at the Denver Zoo.
We do have them.
We also have Kudu, which is on the...
Let's jump into the March Mammal... Is it Mammal March Madness?
No, it's March Mammal Madness.
March Mammal... Oh, that's a lot of M's.
And for those of you who have been around with us for a little while, you know that we did this last year too, and it was the first time that I'd ever heard of March Mammal Madness, and it's something that our eighth grade science teachers do with the eighth graders, and they research all these animals, and then they also fill out these brackets, and it's essentially like all these different animals, and you have to choose if these two animals were to go head to head.
Yeah, who would win?
Who would win?
We did this but last year, yeah.
It's not just, you know, and I learned, it's not just size. It could be what kind of climate they live in, or, you know, the makers of March Mammal Madness could throw in some really funky things. And you're like, oh, I didn't have that piece of information. Like the Okapi. Yeah. Like if I had that piece of information, I might have chosen a different animal.
Yeah. Let's jump into it, though. I want to see who you have. Yeah.
Okay.
See what you got.
So the four categories, you know how in regular basketball, isn't it like north, south, east, west?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the four categories here are... Mighty Stripes.
Oh, all right.
Itty Bitty Comeback City.
Mm-hmm.
Animal Engineers.
Oh, I like that.
And Dad Bods. Where for the Dad Bods category, the information we had about these animals really honed in on like the daddies of the animal.
Yeah. What's the tiny one?
Itty Bitty Comeback City.
Okay.
Mighty Stripes, Itty Bitty Comeback City. animal engineers and dad bods. Oh, so you want me to run through like the different animals that are in each category? Yeah,
bracket. Like that's
okay.
Like, even though you have your bracket, let's do a podcast bracket.
Okay. So the first set of animals in Mighty Stripes is the okapi versus the four-striped grass mouse.
The okapi versus the grass mouse?
Yeah.
I do pick the okapi on that.
Okay, I did too. Okay.
Yeah.
Then it gets tricky, Alexandra, unless you know like...
Are we going to continue on that bracket all the way to the end or just go all the way down
first round? No, we're going to go all the way down first round.
Okay.
Okay, so you picked okapi.
Let's just do like first round or something, see how far we get.
Okay. So then the next grouping is the striped polecat against the giant striped mongoose. Now, polecat was ranked 8 and mongoose 9.
I have to look up some of these.
I know.
Polecat I did too. Versus what?
A mongoose, which was tricky. Oh, polecat. It could have gone either way for me.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you see? What are you looking up?
Well, I saw the polecat. I'm going to go polecat.
That's what I chose. I chose polecat.
There's a reason why we're sisters.
So far we have the okapi and the polecat. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
The next grouping was the side striped jackal versus the striped possum.
Oh, a jackal versus a possum. I'm kind of leaning towards the opossum.
Really?
It's just possum. Jackal?
There's no O because later on in another category is the opossum.
Oh my gosh. This one is possum. I should probably learn the difference between those two.
I don't. Yeah. Striped possum versus the jackal.
All right. So jackal. You did the jackal?
I did the jackal.
Mm, okay.
The next one is the striped dolphin versus the checkered elephant shrew.
The elephant shrew. What was the first one?
Striped dolphin.
Oh. I'm going to go dolphin.
Yeah, that's what I did too. The next one, wildcat versus Highland streaked tenrec. Tenrec, T-E-N-R-E-C. You probably need to look that up to see.
Yeah, let me look that up. Oh, it pops up right. Whoa. You guys should look up what a tenrec is. I can't even. It's an interesting looking. I feel like last year you did this and I had to look up animals and I did not realize there are certain animals. Okay, it's a type of hedgehog. And what was the other one?
Wildcat.
Oh, wildcat.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with that. Obby. Mm-hmm. The next one, striped hyena versus fire-footed rope squirrel.
Mm, hyena.
That's what I picked. Striped rabbit versus numbat. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Numbat. N-U-M-B-A-T.
Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right? What was the first one?
Striped rabbit.
Oh.
I think it's extinct.
The striped rabbit is now or the numbat?
Yeah. I think it was one of those that it was like... was alive once upon a time.
Oh. Sumatran striped rabbit?
This doesn't say Sumatran. It just says striped rabbit.
I'm going to go numbat.
I went rabbit. Then last one is the kudu against the badger bat.
Oh. How big is a kudu?
It's pretty big and it has really pretty horns.
Yeah, it does. I think I'd go that versus the bat.
The kudu?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I think we, you and I picked mostly the same things, except
we did.
You picked the numbat and I picked the rabbit. Out of that whole thing, I have the jackal winning that whole category.
Oh.
Yeah, because then I have the polecat going against the jackal and then I have the jackal winning and then I have the wildcat going against the kudu and then I have wildcat winning. Then I have the jackal against the wildcat and I had to Google because one is of the dog family and one is of the cat family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it actually said in Google somewhere that the jackals do prey on wildcats. Mm-hmm. So I was like, jackal for the win in that category. You want to go to Itty Bitty Comeback City?
Yeah.
You ready for that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there's a wild card winner. The shrew mole against the bumblebee bat.
Oh, bumblebee bat.
Oh, I picked the mole. Okay. So it's that winner against a sea otter, which was ranked number one in the category.
I would do a sea otter.
Yeah. I picked an otter too. Okay. Then the southern. Oh, I have to zoom in to see what this is. The southern Ningaui. I don't know. It's N-I-N-G-A-U-I.
N-I-N-G-A. Oh, I see. It came up.
Versus, so the southern, whatever that is. Oh, boy.
That sucker is tiny, guys. This is an Australian. It's, yeah. It's
that's versus Australian. The grasshopper mouse.
Oh, my God. I'm just, because I can pronounce grasshopper mouse, I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, I went with mouse, too. Then there's the Sibri dwarf lemur versus the silver pika.
Oh, I would do lemur.
Me too. Amara, M-A-R-A.
I find that they pick the most ridiculous animals on this where you have to look them up.
Yeah, look up a Mara.
All right.
Mara against a Siberian chipmunk.
Siberian chipmunk. Amara? How do you spell Amara?
M-A-R-A.
Oh, I'm there. Well, it came up with with some market holdings initially because that's the abbreviation for that holding. Okay. Oh, I see. It's kind of cute. Versus the what?
Siberian chipmunk.
Oh, I'm going to go Mara.
Yeah, that's what I picked. All right. Now, this one is going to be fun to look up. An itjarri. So itjarri versus a silky anteater.
Wait, are you sure it's not? It's the marsupial?
Itjarri. Itjarri. Is it called itjarri? Maybe.
No, I don't know. I put that in and it didn't pop up correctly. All right.
Versus an anteater.
We'll do anteater.
Yeah, that's what
the ones that I can't do.
Dick Dick against Colo Colo opossum.
I feel like last year they had the Dick Dick. I'm going to go with the Dick Dick.
Oh, I went with the opossum. Bulldog Bat versus Thor's Hero Shrew.
I'm going to go off names. Thor's Hero Shrew.
I went with a bat. Then the Rock Hyrax versus the Pygmy Jerboa.
Jerboa. No, I'm just picking them if I can pronounce them.
Yeah, I went with the Hyrax. You should look it up. H-Y-R-A-X. I think they were all really cute. Now, reminder, it's Itty Bitty Comeback City. So these are all really teensy tiny little animals.
The Hyrax has some mean teeth. Y'all.
Yes, which is why I picked it against the Jerboa. A pygmy Jerboa. J-E-R-B-O-A.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. I think mine would lose. Okay.
So then from there, I said the otter was going to beat the mouse. The Mara was going to beat the lemur. The opossum was going to beat the anteater. And the Hyrax was going to beat the bat. And then ultimately, I have the otter winning that category just because they're so dang cute. And if you've ever seen one in person, you know. All right. In the next category, animal engineers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Golden eagle. Mm-hmm. Against a spongilla fly.
Eagle.
Yeah, obvi. Then veined octopus against a pufferfish.
I'm going to go the octopus.
I went with puffer.
You and I briefly before we were recording were talking about this.
Yes. So the pufferfish, as I was Googling these things, because along with the brackets, the eighth graders have done some research on the animals. So there's a whole slideshow that they put together that informs us about each of the animals. And they learn how big are they? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What are some interesting facts about them, et cetera? What environments do they live in so that we have some information to go on when we are putting these animals up against each other. And the pufferfish, many of you already probably know this, but it's very poisonous to fish and it tastes horrible. So it's also poisonous to humans. But then I was like, well, for this round, I said it was going to defeat the octopus because I know the veined octopus, I think, is little. So I was looking that up. And the pufferfish, it would spike up. And then if the octopus
I've
tried
it all.
I've
seen a massive one before.
Yeah, they're huge.
They can be huge. I've seen small. And when I say see them, I mean in the ocean while I'm diving. It was not puffed. I don't even know if that's what you would term it, but or call it is I can use English, but yeah, I mean this thing was probably almost 2 feet long, just without being poofed up, and it was massive. But for me, I think with the octopus, I'm thinking the squeezing ability. That's where I went.
Yeah. Well, and then I'm making some assumptions because there are different kinds of pufferfish and some are more poisonous. Many are poisonous, but then there are some that aren't. And so I was like, well, I don't know. I'm just going to make an assumption and roll with this here.
That's great.
So I picked puffer. The next one was a paleocaster versus a trapdoor spider.
Trapdoor spider.
Yeah, because I don't remember what the paleocaster is, but I picked the spider. It's P-A-L-A-E. O-C-A-S-T-O-R. Yeah,
popped it up. It's a type of beaver.
Beaver. And then I was like, the spider, even though I don't think its bites were lethal. The next one I had was lungfish versus tent making bat.
Tent making bat?
Yeah, these bats make these tents out of leaves and it's really kind of cool.
I suppose you could hide with that. What does a lungfish do?
Well, a lungfish is a fish. And so I was like, what? How do those two even battle against each other? Like, if you know anything about these animals, you'll be like, wait, what?
I'm going to go with the bat.
Okay, I went with the lungfish. The next one is called, I don't know how to pronounce it, but I pronounce it Goanna because that's how it's spelled. And that's versus the Rufus Hornero. So it's G-O-A-N-N-A.
Yeah.
Abby.
Oh, versus, okay. It's a type of lizard.
Yeah, versus a Hornero. H-O-R-N-E-R-O.
You guys are going to be like, what are you doing today? I know you guys.
It's really fun for me, though. Wait, hold on. What are you looking at? What do you see?
I'm going to go with the lizard.
The goanna.
There you go.
Yeah, that's how I'm pronouncing it because, like I said, it has my name in it. And I actually chose it to go pretty far just because I was like, it has my name in it. Anyway, the next one is Homo habilis, which is an older, like, Neanderthal cave, little tiny human caveman kind of thing.
Oh.
Versus the bee.
Bee.
I picked a bee too because I was like, back then, who knows? I mean, now.
Even now they say, you know, I know they're getting into, I can't think of the term, but fabricated bees essentially where they did that whole thing in Florida and eventually had to pull back on that one. But bees are very important.
And millennia ago, who knows what would have happened if you got stung by something like that. You would die. Now,
anaphylaxis, yeah.
Bees stinging other people also kills the bee. So I realize like that bee isn't going to make it very far in my bracket. In fact, I have it going up against the goanna and obviously the goanna wins.
Okay.
Then I've got the Montezuma oropendola, which don't even ask me what that is. I think it's a bird, against the New Caledonian crow.
So bird against bird?
Yeah.
I'm going to go crow.
Which made sense to me more than a lungfish going against a bat. Then the last one is the cathedral termite against the dung beetle.
Yes. Dung beetle all the way.
Yeah. When what I found interesting is they had the cathedral termite ranked 2 and the dung beetle ranked 15. And I don't know if that's an actual.
Well, termites destroy things, right? You get in there and you destroy it. I don't know what the dung beetle does, except it's fun to say dung beetle.
I also had a resource that ranked like where these animals fall on the food chain, like if they're primary, like are they herbivores? Do they eat herbivores? Are they then secondary or tertiary so that are they omnivores? Like that's also what I was using to.
That's an extensive chart there.
It is. Anyway, I have the eagle going all the way.
I think that's a good choice.
Have you ever thought, I'd love to have a podcast just like this one? Well, I can help. My name is Matt Kundle, and everyone at my company, the Sound Off Podcast Network, had a hand in making this show. Whether it was about the sound, the discoverability, or that you're just enjoying the show, we are all about the detail. If you think you have a podcast in you, reach out to me via email, matt@soundoff.network. Or check out the website and become one of the great podcasts we work with at soundoff.network.
Then the last group is the dad bods. Okay. And the first.
When Anna told me that there are dad bods, my initial reaction was, well, is there a category for mom bods? You know, mom animals exist too, you know? All right, dad bods.
All right. So they have emperor penguin against the lined seahorse.
Well, seahorses are my favorite animal. So yeah. I'm going with the seahorse.
Yeah. It's ranked 16th. So I don't think it's going to last long. I went with penguin. I know. And lined seahorse, I think, is a tinier seahorse than many. Anyway.
Small but mighty.
Mm-hmm. Next pairing was owl monkey against a Caspian tern, right? A monkey against a bird.
Oh, that's hard. I feel like I'd want to know more information about the tern. We're not going to do that right now. So I'll go monkey.
Yeah, I did too. Then there's the Pacific spiny lump sucker versus the peacock wrasse.
Can you imagine if we were in a position to actually name these animals, like not even their scientific names, but then to give them a layman's terms name? I can't
Pacific
even speak.
Pacific spiny lump sucker.
What is a lump sucker?
You got to look it up. And you have to look up a wrasse so you know who's going to win.
Oh, it's a fish.
The lump sucker.
It's a fish.
Against a W-R-A-S-S-E.
Oh, yes. I mean, they're both fish, but I'm going to do the lump sucker.
Ooh, I went with the wrasse. I don't remember why. Maybe it was a prettier
fish. It is prettier.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay. Next pairing is the siamang. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Am I? Siamang?
I don't know if you are. Siamang. But what's really interesting is that as I'm Googling these and I don't.
Because I'm saying them out loud.
You are. All of them are popping up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's funny. Okay.
Siamang against Darwin's frog. Talk about naming. Oh. Darwin actually named this frog. I researched that. Siamang is like a monkey, isn't it?
It
like
is. An ape. Yeah. I'm gonna go with the Siamang.
Yeah, that's what I did.
And I'm not always going for what's bigger, obviously. You know, there are some that are smaller and
mighty.
Mighty or
bat-eared fox.
Oh yeah, versus see, it just popped up. There's a bat-eared fox.
Spotted sandpiper.
I have looked at the bat-eared fox before.
Yeah, it's cute.
The sandpiper?
Mm-hmm. Is a bird. I think,
my
right?
My Google is really weird. Yeah, it is a bird. I'm going to do the fox because I like the ears.
What got does some big... the fox say? Mm-hmm. I went with fox too. Okay, next. Wolverine against giant water bug.
You know what's hilarious about that? And I think it's because I must be tapping into the mammal March mammal madness because I went to look up one of the other animals and all the Wolverine movies had popped up.
Really?
And as I'm looking, I'm going, why is that? Why is that on here? Okay, so Wolverine versus what?
Giant water bug.
What? Yeah, I'm not a big fan of bugs. We're going to go Wolverine on that one.
Yep, Wolverine. Then the greater flamingo against the Dyak fruit bat.
I think I'm going to do the bat.
Oh, I went with the flamingo. Okay. Then the last pairing in Dad Bods is greater Rhea, R-H-E-A, versus the three-spined stickleback.
This is hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, and it popped right up. Okay. Oh, it's a fish. The stickleback is a fish and the Rhea is a bird.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the Rhea.
Yes, that's what I went with. Okay. So
it
then
is not an emu and it is not an ostrich, but it kind of looks like them, but it is not.
Yes. And it
just for the audience.
It doesn't fly. So it very much looks like those birds. And it also doesn't fly. So when I have the flamingo going up against the Rhea, that was tricksy for me. And I was like, ooh, which one would win?
What'd you pick?
Because the Rhea is bigger than the flamingo. Well,
and I didn't look for how fast. Yeah, I didn't look for how fast because ostriches are mighty fast.
Rhea is fast, but so is the flamingo.
A flamingo is fast?
Yeah. Oh. That's what this thing said. Oh. Anyway, and the flamingo can fly and the Rhea can't. So I went with flamingo.
Oh, you went with flamingo. Well, you did have the, weren't you in the cabin, the flamingos, when we were in camp when we were younger?
We were called the pink flamingos. All right. Then I had the fox going up against the wolverine, obvi wolverine.
Yeah.
I had the wrasse going up against the siamang. So that was like the monkey kind of creature going up against the fish. So I had the siamang winning. And then penguin in a monkey. And I picked penguin.
Okay.
Because it's the emperor penguin. That.
Yeah.
And they're big.
They are.
Then I had the penguin going up against the siamang. I have the siamang winning.
Okay.
And then I have the wolverine against the flamingo. Oh. Wolverine winning.
Yeah.
Then wolverine against the siamang. Wolverine. Then.
Are you guys keeping track of this? Because I'm not sure I am.
Picture this. Then I have the eagle going up against the wolverine. Now, this is where things get tricky for me. So that's one side of the bracket. The other side of the bracket is a jackal going up against an otter. I have the jackal winning. Then I've got the eagle against the wolverine. Now, originally, because I was doing some Googling, originally with an eagle going up against a wolverine, I was like, obvi wolverine. Because, then I Googled eagle. Like, what is, who's the predator of the eagle? There isn't one.
No,
there isn't a natural predator for the eagle, except wolverines do eat eagle eggs.
That's what I would say is if you go for the young, that's one thing. But for, there isn't one for the
except
adult.
Except for the humans. The only, like, the biggest risk to eagles are humans.
Yeah,
so then I was like, which way am I going to go for this bracket? Because there's an argument for both sides. If the wolverine is going against baby eagles, then they should have said eaglets, but they didn't.
And I'm thinking, you know, honestly, I'm thinking of one of my favorite rom-coms, The Proposal. With Sandra Bullock, and they have the dog, and they're like, don't let the dog outside because the eagles will get it.
and then it scoops it right up.
It's a whole scene. So, I mean, just as much as the wolverine would go after, the eggs, I could see the eagle going after the wolverine pups.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd still say eagle.
For the last round, I have the jackal going against the eagle. And then I did. I picked the eagle to go and then to win the whole thing. And I felt pretty good about that because I did go to the American University, which is the home of the eagles.
That's true.
Now, granted, those were bald eagles and this is a golden eagle.
Yeah.
I get it. But still, mighty. So I had to go with eagle to win the whole thing.
I think that's great. I'm excited to continue hearing from you on how it goes.
I know you guys at home are going to be on pins and needles for a few weeks because I won't know for a few weeks what's going to happen.
We're
on spring break.
We can put a link to the, right, to the mammal bracket.
No, the videos don't get released yet.
Wait, but for the bracket so people can see what the kind of animals are?
I'm sure I can figure out how to get, yes, they're online. Or I'll figure out somehow that you can get a copy of the
bracket. Well, that way you guys can see what the animals are and if you feel it. I mean, it might be a little late.
You want to play along? Now that you know what I picked,
I know.
Overall,
might be a little late by the time this episode airs. But I like that it's a fun thing to do, that it kind of parallels what's going on culturally, but is something different and fun and a way for kids to still learn, or adults, since Anna and I get excited about doing this every year.
I know. Well, because I'm the reigning champion. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I am the reigning champion. I even framed my bracket from last year.
Really?
And I framed the certificate. They're like sitting on my desk still because I haven't put them up on my walls, but I will. I was talking a lot of smack in the office the other day when we all got access to brackets. And I was like, you guys, you know, like I am the reigning champ. And so good luck to you. And so that smack talking continued a little bit more today as I mean, it's spring break. So I hit a wall probably about noon. And I'm like, I'm kind of done. So I went into the office and finished the puzzle that was out on the counter there. And then I talked some smack about the brackets because everyone's starting to submit their answers. And
all
it was
right.
Just fun for everyone.
Yeah. Sounds like a good day's work there.
Yeah. It was rough.
That's hysterical. Yeah. I'm excited to see what comes of this.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. I was going to bring up, I don't know if this ever happens to you guys, but do you ever watch a movie and then have an unexpected reaction to the movie?
Do tell.
Well, for instance, I have recently watched several movies or thought, you know, there's been certain movies that I've decided to watch where I didn't realize I would cry.
Oh.
Or tear up. And I went, oh. So, and one of them for me was Inside Out, which cracks me up.
Yes.
So that was a while ago. Buddy and I were watching that one and we got to the end and I was just, and Buddy's like, Mom, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm great. Just give me a moment. But do you ever have that happen where you're watching either a show or a movie and it doesn't necessarily mean crying, but where you go, oh, that hit me a little differently than I thought it would.
Yeah. And I feel like I talked about that recently. That's been happening even with commercials.
Oh, commercials.
I'm like, oh, that got me.
Oh,
that was weird.
I don't remember last time I fully watched a commercial, but that cracks me up. Yeah.
Hulu.
So I have go-to movies. If I'm kind of going through anger or something, then there's certain shows. Like that was something that happened where when I was going through just a really angry period of time where I soaked up Ozark. I could not get enough of Ozark. I was like, I'm going to watch this. This is so intense. Or like if I feel like I need a cry, then I go usually Last of the Mohicans.
Yes,
that one.
Mm-hmm. That's mine. Typically Last of the Mohicans.
What's the one, the Christmas movie with Sarah Jessica Parker and Diane Keaton? We talk about this one.
Oh gosh, Al.
Yeah.
Stone. Family Stone.
Family Stone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one I can't watch very often either because that one will also make me weep. Do you have ones that are go-to to make you laugh?
E.T. always makes me cry too.
I haven't watched E.T. in forever.
What do I laugh at? I mean, I laugh at a lot of things, but I don't know if there's like a go-to show that I watch that makes me laugh.
Or a movie.
I'm watching ER right now and there was like an episode and Jerry did something funny and it made me giggle out loud. And I was like, well, that was funny. Good job, writers. That was cute.
Yeah. I think Without a Paddle is one.
Oh,
for me.
It's so funny.
Yeah. Kind of riding those emotional
rat
emotional
race,
waves.
Right?
Oh, like, oh, that's a good one.
God, that makes me crack up. Yeah, you're right. There are some go-tos I have. And I was thinking about this because I these movies, like some of those favorites, I have in DVD or Blu-ray form.
Correct.
Still,
yeah.
Because I still have a Blu-ray player.
I do too. Yeah.
And I don't use it very often anymore, but once in a while, that's how I watch Harry Potter. I think I've discussed that. But recently there was someone asking for recommendations for like this church music and in this period leading up to our Easter. And as I was formulating this email with all these suggestions, a lot of the suggestions that I had were CDs. And I'm like, I'm going to suggest these things, but you probably don't have a CD player. So I don't know if like the albums are available on Spotify. Like, I don't even know. And but
could you YouTube them, you think?
Oh, I got her with that one.
Yes, I did suggest YouTube because I did say a lot of this stuff is up on YouTube anymore. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the whole album would be because I didn't search that.
That's such a good point. I was thinking about this and how people have different preferences for accessing their music or playlist or whatever. And it's so interesting how many albums or artists I don't listen to anymore because I have incredible access to, but I'm so used to just like flipping through my CD book and being like, here you go. Versus I get overwhelmed sometimes on the apps because it's just pages and pages and pages.
Did you ever like organize your CD book? Were you like alphabetical or by genre?
Usually alphabetical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I was that nerd.
I think I tried, but then as you get more CDs, then you have to reorganize mm-hmm. the whole thing again.
You do.
So then I started just putting them
Them and then I'd go, oh, I have to go in and reorganize them. Oh, shoot. There was something else I was going to say about CDs, albums, playlists. Oh, that's what I was going to say is I actually went back and started listening to a couple Mumford. I haven't listened to Mumford and Sons in forever.
So good.
And went back and was listening to a couple of their albums the other day. I was like, oh, all right.
I think I had heard, did they go through a reorg?
I have no idea. If you guys know, let us know. Yeah. No, I have a full bin, an actual like plastic bin full of DVDs. And I don't know why I hold on to them because I don't ever go and grab them. Like I have a section for Blu-rays and then I have the DVDs.
I think you could probably sell them.
I probably could, but I don't. It's one of those where I'm not ready. I'll just say that. I'm not ready.
To give up your DVDs?
Yeah, it's weird. Kind of went through that, you know, with your VHSs. I kept those because our parents had like almost every Disney movie on VHS there for a while. And then I think they got every DVD. They switched to DVD. Isn't that interesting, that transition? And then I think of Buddy, who's going to have like he's three and will tell our parents what streaming service has which show he wants. That makes it sound
That's
like he
so
watches
funny.
TV all the time and he doesn't. But he'll, like if he's talking about Blaze and his grandma or mother is asking where it is or something, he'll be like, oh, that's on Prime.
I just got distracted by your hair because when you turn your head like that and the sun hits it, it looks like you have this blue streak in it.
Oh, I did not dye my
hair. Which is not, I'm like, that's not usually something that Alexandra does, which is why it caught my eye.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's a big thing right now to put purples and blues in your hair, but I did not do that.
I think I have Practical Magic on VHS.
Still.
I don't think I have my box anymore, but that is one movie I think I had on VHS.
That's a good one.
You know what else I had on VHS?
I had a lot of movies on VHS.
Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh my God, remember that one?
Remember, we would watch that over and over.
But I feel it was recorded. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was totally recorded. It wasn't there.
We had a blank VHS and recorded it. Or someone gave it to us. Like someone recorded it because we did not have HBO or any of that growing up.
Mm-mm.
And so I think someone recorded it and gave it to us. And I loved watching that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that's a movie they don't even show like on cable Saturday mornings. But could be so valuable.
It could be. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. It kind of goes back to the payphone thing. You know, Buddy's not going to know what a payphone is. He doesn't know what a landline is. Because even landlines now are cordless phones. So he has no concept of that. Though he will keep track of my phone for me. Hey, Mom, you need your phone? No, it's okay.
That's been a funny thing about watching ER because it, you know, started in the 90s. Before that kind of technology. And they're like, you need to get a hold of so-and-so. And they're like, how am I supposed to do that? And they're like, I don't know, figure it out. And today it'd be like, just call them on their cell phone.
Right.
But yeah, the technology and the introduction of that and the progression of the progression of time through film, right?
Yeah,
or these,
the technology.
These series that went on for seasons and seasons. And like, yeah, as as the world was growing and changing in the technology field. And then these people, these characters were also adapting, and then all of a sudden having like flip phones.
Yeah. Well, it always reminds me of Saved by the Bell when Zach had his like brick, he had his car phone or his, his brick cell phone. And no, I was late in that. I mean, there were peers of mine in high school that were just starting to get cell phones. But I didn't have my first one until I was well into college. But
yeah, I think I got my first one and it was just like a Nokia, like a little baby brick Nokia, and you had to pull the antenna out. I think that's what I had. But our parents got that for me when I, because I went to school 2,000 miles away from the family. And so that's, you know, it was a way for us to keep in contact with each other.
Yeah. I remember when I went to England, I got a when I got there, because they didn't have international phones. You had to get a phone in the country where you were traveling at that time. So I got my phone and then was late for soccer practice or football practice, if you will. And I threw the phone into my bag, not realizing that my water bottle wasn't completely tightened. Brand new phone, like hours old, and my water, I mean, it was probably like 3 inches of water that was, and I'm running to practice going, why am I so wet? Like, what is happening right now? And then realizing, yeah. So then I had to go back and they didn't really want to do a return on that because it was my own fault.
We didn't know you could put it in rice then either.
Well, I didn't have access to that at that point either. But yeah, then I went and got a different phone.
This conversation reminds me how recently it was one of my assistant principal's birthday this week. And I learned that he was born the year I graduated high school.
Wait, I'm sorry. Your assistant principal was born the year you graduated high school?
Yep.
Oh boy.
Yep.
That's hard. I have a client.
That's something, huh?
I have a client where the mom was relaying that she had her child a little bit younger at 19, and he is just under 3. And so I was doing the math, and I went, okay. Okay. We're now in that stage.
Yeah. I remember just a few years back when kids used to think I was 27, and now he's like that age. And like the gray spots of my hair keep growing and growing. I'm like, I don't look like I'm 27 anymore. I know it.
Yeah.
That's okay though. I look like these kids' grandmas. That's like the age that I'm in. Mm-hmm.
That's so weird.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah. I could be a grandma right now.
My grandma's 40, whatever. Yeah, good for you.
I remember when someone, my client's sister, she's 5 and was asking me how old I was, because I might have already talked about this on podcast, but she was talking about her parents and how old they were, because she's learning ages and how to tell the difference and all that. And then she looks at me and she goes, how old are you? And I told her, and she goes, that is so old. And I said, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks for that.
It's mature.
Yeah.
It's wisdom. That's what
wisdom,
I have.
Wisdom, that's
at
right.
At this age. Mm-hmm. Anything else you have to add for today, Alexandra, as we both looked at each other and were like, well,
no, I think it's that time. What do you have for us?
Oh, the STW joke of the day. We're going with the animal theme still, because that's where we are in quality trickery. And it's also March Mammal Madness. So here we go. Why are teddy bears never hungry?
I don't know why.
Because they're always stuffed.
Oh, that's actually kind of cute.
It is cute.
I'm going to say this. You are not alone if you use absolutely no strategy to fill out a bracket of any kind.
You are not alone. I didn't come prepared to class for this one today. So I'm like, what happened to me today that I could be like, you are not alone? Oh, okay, because this is like impacting my life from here on out. And as I think about this surgery that's coming up, I'm really trying to take it in stride and be low key about it. But I really think like a part like inside of me is kind of freaking out because I don't know how this is going to impact my life. And I'm like, I feel like I'm halfway through my life, right? Like if I'm lucky that there's like still 50% of my life left to go. And this could be like a game changer in many ways. So if you have ever been in that kind of circumstance or scenario and you're like, oh, well, this thing has happened and it kind of came out of the blue. Now I have to deal with it. And you're not alone. And you're like, wow, some of the foods that I thought like I was going to be able to eat forever, I can't anymore because my body will hate me. Blah. Mm.
It's a transition.
It is.
Definitely. And I think once you get through it, though, kind of just like any habit where when you make that shift, we went through this with sugar, right? When we talked about kind of cutting out sugar and going more like away from processed. And I think there's a sense of going like, oh, I kind of really want that. And then you have it and you just realize that your taste buds have changed. And I get it. It's kind of a mourning process in the moment.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I think feel like in my head, I'm trying to take it in stride. And then like if I have at all any time to really think about it, I start to get a little sad. So I'm like, nope, let's not get sad. Like silver linings, we'll deal with it. It's not that big of a deal. It's going to be okay.
All right. Well, you're not alone, Anna.
Thank you. You guys are not alone. We love you. We hope you have a great week and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Russian Sisters. To connect with them, go to therussiansisters.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.
I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at broadcastdialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.